League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everybody, welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchik, and we're here to talk about the Green Bay Packers' 33-30 win over the Carolina Panthers on Christmas Eve. And Eric, it's hard not to talk about the Green Bay Packers' defense and the collapse again in a third straight terrible game. And we were chatting just for a minute or for a couple minutes here before starting the podcast, and it's just confounding how the last three quarterbacks they played have all had their best game of the season. And in Baker, well, I think actually probably in all three, yeah, in all three cases, because two of them are rookies, and Baker Mayfield had a perfect rating, the three best games of their careers.
Correct.
What is going on here?
Boy, I don't know if it's the eggnog. I got too much eggnog or not enough or something, but I'm struggling for the words tonight, Pete. Because it's like half dozen of one and six of the other. You know, they're not getting home on defense with when they rush four, and their secondary is in shambles right now. Let's put it this way. So I think when you look at things, you know, there's a lot of question. Is it the play calling? Is it the players? Is it a miracle? What is it? To me, it's six of one and a half dozen of the others. So when Barry came out of LA, they had two really good pass rushers, right? In Aaron Donald and Floyd.
Yeah.
They also had some really good secondary players.
Jalen Ramsey was the best at that time, was the best corner in the game, pretty much undisputed, I think.
The Rams had some pass rushers that were pretty darn good.
I mean, Aaron Donald was as good a rusher. He was an inside rusher, but he was as dominating a rusher as there was in the league. Von Miller didn't come till later, but Floyd was there, and he was a good rusher. And then they had a cornerback who they could play anywhere with Ramsey. They could play him in the slot. They could play him outside. They could you know, match him if there was a great receiver.
Packers beat him on man-to-man coverage. Remember that one play by Devontae Adams along in the goal line there where he went in motion and just ran right by Ramsey?
Yeah.
So when you're looking at – I mean, so that was the hot defense, right? They're just coming off a Super Bowl. That's the defense we want to run. And this is something that I think D coordinators get, and offensive coordinators too, don't get me wrong, but they get it in their head that this is the defense we're going to run and that's what we're going to do. And I think when you look at this football team, it's much different – makeup than that Rams team, and to sit back in soft zones and expecting this front four to get it done, for whatever reason they are not getting it done up front. And so when you're not getting the quarterback off the mark and you got wide windows in the zones open up all over the place for guys to run around, this is what you get. So is it coaching? Yeah, I totally believe it's a coaching. Is it players? Yeah, I believe it's players too. I think you look at Alexander. So a play you and I were just talking about in the fourth quarter, 7:30 on the clock at the snap, and they're in
third and 12
coverage.
Yep.
You know, and they send seven off the edge, so they're in basically their nickel front with seven mugged up on the outside shoulder of the outside linebacker up there, who happens to be Gary. And everybody's playing man with a safety over the top. So it's man under one with one over the top. And every guy is accounted for. But when you look at the alignments, you got Stokes at 7 yards, and you got up on top, you got Alexander at 10. Basically, his heels are at 10. So even if they catches the ball in front of him, the guy's going to fall down pretty much for a first down. So I guess if you're going to try to get him off the spot, don't we want to try to redirect a little bit with the wideouts? You know, try to get them off schedule a little bit too. But unfortunately, they send five guys here. Quarterback never even gets off spot. The ball isn't even challenged. It's first down, drives alive. You know, 3rd and 12, that was a big play because if they don't, they hold them there, it's a field goal, right? You know, now it's 30-19 versus scoring 6 in 2 plays. So is it players? Yeah. I mean, so here's the point with the players up front. You got 7 who has 0 pass rush moves whatsoever. The only thing he can do is run, and they run him off the edge. And you got your supposedly your other good guys. Actually, they're rushing 6 there.
Yeah.
And it's not getting done. They're not getting home. So are we not lined up ready to go? I don't think that's the case. I think it's the bigger issue is that they're not hitting gaps. If you're going to run the guy off the edge, then 52 every other play he loves to bury down inside. He needs to come inside. He stays outside battling with that guard, with that tackle out there, and then the guard picks him up when 7 flashes. Now's the play where he should be coming inside, right? 97's got to be, you got to be pinch all the way up front. 91's got to be screaming on the outside to make sure in case they're going to, the quarterback flushes, that he should get there. And that's just, I don't know if that's coaching. I'm pretty sure it's coaching. And then the other part is on the back end there, where they're giving those guys so much room off the line of scrimmage. I just don't understand it. I mean, that's just not. I don't think that's putting your guys in position to be successful. So in this particular play, it's both. And I think there's a lot of that as the game goes on and before this too. There were times where they looked really sharp. I will say this, they were much better at attacking the football than they have all the rest of the season as far as blitzing and getting more guys after the quarterback. But, man, you look at other teams in the league and the way they run to the football, where their defense, they're trying – there's, you know, the goal is to get 11 hats on the ball, and I don't see that with this club, and I that to me is coaching.
Yeah, and, you know, when
things are definitely physical.
And when we talked earlier today, I think that's you the point you made. You're probably right on the money. Is that, you know, because I said, well, do they probably don't practice this a lot because they don't blitz a lot, and you said, yeah, and the bigger thing is they're not doing it in games, which is where you really learn how to do it, because you find out what works and doesn't. You can talk about it in film the next week. I wonder if that's the biggest thing, is they just don't work on this stuff in practice or in games enough to do it well come Sunday.
For sure. And I think the way they choose to do it as well too. You know, they like to send 7 off the edge, but you know, the shortest, I'm not the smartest dude in the world, but I paid attention.
I can vouch for that.
What's that?
I can vouch for that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, but I did pay attention like every 3rd or 4th day in math class. That's why I have trouble counting scores. You know, 7 and 6. Those are numbers. But anyways, what I did learn is that shortest distance between 2 points is a straight line. And I don't know why, if you got 7 who's just not really developed into a good blitzing linebacker at this point, get him in an A gap. Take those 2 tackles, split them out. You know, line them up on inside shoulders of the guards, and then either you're going to have a guard center with a double team, and the other guard, you're going to take him with your other tackle and drag him out and have the parting of the Red Sea. He just fires up the middle, or he's got to beat a center. And I'm telling you, I don't understand why they keep coming off the edge. I mean, the easiest thing to do is just run between run right at the guy, or you know, you can line up 7 over in a B gap and then loop him around. I mean, there's a lot of different things, the way to get him into. I think with his height and length, that getting him into A gaps, especially with a quarterback that's 5'10", And any, especially young quarterbacks, if they're going to know that they're going to catch one in the teeth here in a couple seconds if they hold on to the ball, they're going to make bad throws, and most of the time those are bad throws. So, you know, how they choose to do some of that stuff, I think, is different. I like the way the Cowboys use Micah Parsons. No one's going to think that seven looks like Micah Parsons, but at least the way they use him, I think there's some ways that the Packers can do better there at doing that. But, you know, they got to rep it. They got to rep pass rush moves with him, even though he's a linebacker blitzing. He's still got to learn how to do an arm over, or at least at the very least, he's got to be able to rip through. You know, there's a couple of things that he's just got to get better at to utilize that speed. And then, you know, I think at this point, what do you got to lose? You got two games coming up. What you have been doing isn't working. Attack the football like you did, and just keep getting better at it. You know, so I don't think they have the way they played with the way as much pressure as they tried to put up front. I don't think that they can do that these next two games and expect to win. I think they're gonna have to heat up the quarterback, especially the Bears. And make these guys make mistakes, because like we talked about earlier, when the Packers beat the Chiefs and they beat the Lions, Pete, what was the common denominator?
Yeah, they took the ball away.
Right. Turnovers. 1 for 6. You know, so that's a touchdown of 6, right?
Yeah,
so
that's correct.
6, yeah.
Yeah. Good.
they gotta do the same thing. They gotta heat the quarterback up. They gotta get turnovers. This team just is not playing well enough on the back end to have them make great physical efforts on their own to get turnovers. It's gonna have to happen by heating the quarterback up.
It's funny, after we talked, you know, I put the game on right away and started rewatching it. I forgot, second play of the game, Walker blitzes the B gap, blows right by the guard, gets a hand on the guy. Smith comes from the backside and's on the ground. Walker pulls him down over Smith, so they share a 7-yard sack.
Beautiful.
And that was basically as good as it got.
Yeah.
And that was his only.
That's what they got to continue to do.
Yeah, that was their one of the only good rushes Seven had, but it was the second play of the game. I remember thinking, watching the game live, you know, watching how Carolina struggle that first quarter, it was like, man, this could end up, they could blow these guys off the field before this is done.
You know, it's little things too. So okay, again, it's in the fourth quarter. It is it's on the touchdown pass, the last one. It's 22-30. And it's 4:10 on the clock, I believe. Yeah, 4:10 on the clock. So they blitz the B gap, it's an A gap blitz with 58, and it's coming, and it's great, except for 55 is 15 stinking yards upfield, so the quarterback is then able to escape the pocket and throw for a touchdown. So this is the things that they gotta get cleaned up. Is if you're gonna blitz, your outside rush has gotta be quarterback depth. You can't be beyond quarterback depth, because then you're going to see what happens here. And unfortunately, that young man goes flying. Literally, he's almost 15 yards upfield. B-gap blitz, everything's looking good. We got the quarterback moving, heated up. If the D-end is doing his job and he's sitting at 10, it's a sack. Instead, he keeps rolling to the sidelines and throws it for a touchdown.
So it makes you wonder.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, so, is he forgetting his assignment? Did they not drill it to him enough? Do they not practice this enough so it's second nature? I mean,
I don't know. It's Ingambari, and he seems to do a lot of that kind of stuff. He either is going to, you know, he give up contain or go flying upfield. He's pretty athletic in the sense that he wants to make a play. There's no question about it, but, you know, team defense is team defense. And so this is one of the scenarios where they don't do it a lot. So now it's on tape. So I'm sure tomorrow morning when they roll in there that he's going to see this and you're like, you can't do this. This is not how the defense is designed. So that's a personnel issue. He goes screaming upfield. You know, when you're designing those blitzes, it's designed, you still can't keep up. You still can't give up contain. And he does. He goes stupidly screaming upfield, and it's a touchdown. It's just little things like that that change the outcome of a game that got to get better. And that, to me, right there is coaching. You've got to wrangle that guy in.
Yeah.
However it is, I know it's different nowadays, but you got to wrangle that guy in, or you don't put him on the field. because this is, it's, you know, it's week 16. This guy has done this all season long. Same thing with Rashawn Gary running, you know, he's going inside and ducking inside constantly, and the quarterback rolls over the top of him. So that's coaching. And those, you know, so when to look at this whole thing, you can't blame it all on the coaching, because the guys out on the field share a fair amount too. But the coaches got to be able to communicate with these guys and understand that that is not the right way to play football.
Yeah, you wonder if they're not demanding it enough, you know, if they're not, I don't know what repercussions they can have for a guy. As you mentioned, you can bench him. I mean, you can't bench Rashawn Gary, but because you got to have him out there. But I wonder if they're just not demanding enough or what happens there. But there's, you know, so there's two games left.
We're not sitting in those rooms. I do know this, that there was a pretty darn good coach that I had growing up, and he played in the league. Played for the Washington Redskins, and a story he told me was just phenomenal. And this guy jumps off sides, so they line up, the dude again, same count, jumps off sides, comes back out three times in a row. Same thing, same snap count, same everything, jumped off sides. Coach says, listen, you're done, you're cut. Champions make mistakes, losers continue to make them. And that's my point, is that champions are going to make mistakes. It's going to happen all the time. It's just part of life. But you can't keep making the same mistakes over and over and over and expect different results. It has to be 11 guys on the field knowing exactly where they are, where they have to be in order to be successful. And when you got one guy, so on that touchdown, the second touchdown to tie up the ball game, one guy gets out of position and goes barreling upfield. The other 10 guys and the rest of the 43 guys that are, or 40, 52 guys that are there on the sidelines are getting burned because one guy made a mistake. That's a coaching issue. You got to stop it. And I don't know, like I said, I'm not in their rooms. I don't know what's happening when they're doing film study and they're doing that stuff. But by golly, when it happens once, it's, you know, okay, you learn from it. Happens again. All right, it's another learning opportunity. But when it's continually happening over and over and over, you got to either get new players or you got to figure out a way to communicate with them. Maybe you need crayons. I don't know. Maybe they don't understand all this newfangled technology and you got to get a whiteboard out with markers or construction paper and crayons. I don't know, whatever that communication is going to exist. That's the coach's job to figure it out.
So there's two games left. I mean, what are the chances that they can improve on some of these things? They can blitz better this week than this game, or 2 weeks from now than this game. Is that something that can improve at least a little bit in that little of time, or is this something that would have been an off-season project? Or
I think yes. I mean, so there's a handful of plays like that where they blitz, and they don't do it a lot. So you know, I get it. But like that touchdown, that last touchdown pass, you clean that up, and it's a sack. Right? And yes, so they can get better. You do that against the Vikings, then I think they're going to be okay. I don't think there's a whole lot of running threat with their quarterback right now. And they're going to have to heat him up. You know, he's a vet. He's not going to be a young guy like this. So, you know, there's some danger there in heating him up. But I think if you bloody his nose and cut his lip a little bit, he's going to get gun shy. Them balls are going to come out of there faster, and they're not going to come out on time and on schedule. So he's going to be in trouble. And that's when you're going to get turnovers. So that's the key is at this point in time, if you're going to give guys a career day against you, you might as well at least get his jersey dirty, right? You know, I'm okay with a 15-yard personal foul roughing the quarterback once in a while because he's going to think about it. I mean, tell me you're going to get hit by a 280-pound dude and you're not going to think about it?
You know, when we talked on the phone, what's the worst that can happen? You can't really play any worse than they have, can you? I mean, I suppose you could give up 70 like the Chargers did, or 60 or whatever it was. But so basically, you and our column is advocating it was bad. They gave up 30 points to a team averaging half that, and they gave up a rookie quarterback who struggled all year, had his best game. But this is the way they're going to have to play to have a chance to win these last couple games, because They're getting carved up without turnovers when they play coverage, so they might as well try to heat it up and hope they can create a turnover or two in there while occasionally getting gashed on the blitzes.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, going when you do that, that's going to happen. Now, I am going to tell you this. I got to eat a little. I don't normally change my mind this quickly on things. I tell you what, I really liked McDuffie yesterday. I really, really did. He played under control. He typically plays with his hair on fire. You know, he runs around. He's quick. I really like how he used his leverage to get underneath blocks, which is kind of the first time I've seen that all year. I mean, both their linebackers are good when you run away from them. They're going to run you down. But where they struggle is running at you or at them. And I looked much better than it did the week before when 59 was in the ballgame. And that's the first time that I've felt that way all season. And I know some other folks have said they like him, and I think you get enamored with his, he's an emotional guy. He runs sideline to sideline. That's pretty good stuff. But I really like the way when he did attack blockers, he did it from a point of leverage. And not full bodying him, the guy. He was trying to make sure you keep one arm and one leg free. And then that's kind of the key to get it done. So I was really, I was like, wow. I said a lot of really not nice things about McDuffie recently, but he really looked good yesterday. It was a much different type of play than what we saw out of Campbell the week before. And it sounds like he's injured. He wasn't active again. So, those things all play into it. But I at this point, I think they got to line him up out there and be done, keep him out there with seven and just get after it.
Wouldn't be surprised at all if Campbell sits out another full week here.
Yeah. Why not put him on IR? Get out of him. He doesn't want to play hurt. I get it.
Get
healed up.
There's no end to what we could talk about the defense. Is there even anything else we're saying? I mean, they're just playing. They've just been so bad the last 3 weeks. I'm not sure. I mean, many of us feel Barry should have been fired last week at this time.
And it's not like I said. I definitely feel that's the case, because you heard it all season long. We got to out-coach. We got to communicate better, blah, blah, blah. All right, Matt, figure out the solution and get it fixed. And it may not be that Joe Barry's dumb or he's a bad coach or not. It's just maybe he's not holding his guys to account. Maybe he's not. These are professional athletes. They don't want to get beat. They want to get better. That's just what they want to do. They're not, these aren't just a bunch of schlups out there. These guys are guys that they're professional athletes. And I think you got to challenge them. And I think you can't allow, and they understand it. That's the hard part for me is, like the Ingabari stuff and the Rashawn Gary stuff. I mean, those guys are just completely go cowboy sometimes and you don't understand why. And to me, that's coaching. You got to wrangle those guys in. And then you see guys that do stuff that's just physical. They're not good enough and they're like those two safeties. It seems like those guys are swimming half the time. So I think you can coach the hell out of those guys, but they ain't going to give you any better because they're too busy looking around trying to figure out what end is up. So it's a little bit scary there on the back end, but at least Johnson came up and hit somebody. And then of course they threw the flag for you hit too hard. Come on.
Yeah, I know. So it's funny. I was talking with a scout last week who had watched some Packers tape recently. And I asked him about the defense. He goes, well, first of all, we were talking about what they can do in the offseason. He said, well, first of all, they got to take care of the safety thing. He just thought their safeties, they were really, really weak at safety, which, we all knew going into the season. They had no money. And so they had these guys are their minimum wage guys, and Savage is hurt. And I still will argue that I don't think Savage is appreciably better than these two guys.
No, the only thing that I see is he's a little bit quicker to fill in the alley in the run plays. That's about it.
But then he misses the tackles.
Yeah, he does. You're right. You got to like the Johnson kid. At least hits the guy.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't stop hitting people because of that stupid penalty.
Well, that'll do it because, you know, it's not just the 15 yards. Those guys get hit with a, you know, a big fine. Nobody wants money taken out of their pocket just for, you know, hitting a guy
too hard. Hit one of those refs one of these days.
It was bad. All the roughing calls both ways yesterday were bad. The league's got a problem because they don't want these quarterbacks getting hurt because it's bad for business. And they're so conscious of at least giving the appearance that they're extremely worried about health and safety because they don't want to get sued down the road. So that's another reason they're protecting these quarterbacks like this.
Take the face mask off.
But it's you know, I was all for it. I totally understood a lot of these rules changes and the emphasis, but it's gone. It has gotten to the point where it's gone too far, and it's just not, at a certain point, it's just not football anymore. I mean, every time somebody hits the quarterback, you're looking to see if there's a flag now. And every time there's a throw downfield, you're looking to see if there's a flag.
So, all right, let's talk offense for a minute. So you got basically coming into this game, you got your two most explosive, receivers, and the guy that's starting to become an explosive receiver is pretty hobbled up, and you're missing two of them.
You're talking about Watson and Reed?
Supposedly had pretty good tight end, right? So yeah. How the heck are you going to score any points? I mean, think about it. So my hat's off to Jordan Love to being able to continue to play without his guys, right? I mean, without having Watson and not having Reed, no Musgrave, Wicks that's hobbled up pretty good, they go out there and they put up 30 points. It's pretty darn good. But I don't think they put up 10 points if it isn't for 33. I mean, yeah. When you watch him, you know, so sometimes people will grab me and say, hey, you know, how come, you know, A.J. Dillon, Quadzilla, blah, 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 how come he can't run, or how can the running game not be successful with him like they are with Aaron Jones? And all I can say is you look at the big gainer that Aaron Jones had there. It went out for, 40 yards almost?
36, I think, yeah.
36. Close enough. Again, for someone who's limited intelligence like myself, that's close to 40. I'll take it. So it's in the first quarter. He goes off for 36, right? But you see the change of directions on several times as that play develops. And that's the difference between him and A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon is running downhill straight to a gap. And it just, you watch this, you're watching Aaron Jones plays, it really, that's a professional running back. He sets up his blocks, you know. So think of it this way: your offensive lineman has got manned up on a defensive end, and the defensive end's got his arm extended, so he can see what's going on. So you take a dip inside. Now the D lineman is going to start leaning inside and try to move off, and then the next step he's off to his right, and it goes and he's out of there. Then he's got a safety that's coming up on him, and he jukes him. He looks like I'm going to run right at you, and then at the last second, whoop, over the top. And then he's off to the races. So that's beautiful. That run there had everything that makes Aaron Jones a good running back there. You saw a little bit of toughness. You saw him set up his blocks. And then you saw him juke a safety. I mean, that is really, really good. And you saw this all the way throughout the game. Too bad they couldn't give him the ball that many times last week. But what the heck, you know, we're not going to go there, right? We know where that's going to go. So, but the reality is, I mean, I you know, you give him the ball 21 times on the ground, you throw it to him a handful of times. He is one of those guys that's pretty special. And I think if he's in a different team, a lot of people are talking about him in a different light, but I really like what he does and what it brings to the table to make this team successful, especially on offense.
You'd have been proud of me last night. I did the post-game podcast with Tom Silverstein, and we were talking about Jones, and I advocated playing him 75-80% of the snaps. He's been historically a 60% player at most. And when I said that, Tom was like, yeah, I got to push back on that. You know, he's never played that much. He's, you know, he's susceptible to injury, all that. And I said, Tom, I'm with you all the way. And if it, this is week 10, I agree with you, but there's two games left. Playoffs are on the line. They got to play this guy. They got to play him and play him and do whatever it takes to win.
Yep. 100% right. Because so what? So what? You going to save him for next year? Right?
I mean, right.
So run the guy. The guy's a running back. That's what he wants to do. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Big deal. It's not, you know, it is what it is. And if you're worried about him getting contact, then just having him out there for decoy.
That's,
and motion him out of the backfield.
That's an underrated thing.
Motion him out to a slot or start him in a slot and then motion him. And that's going to cause chaos, or that's going to cause the linebackers and safeties to start thinking a little bit. If it does happen to be man and he gets stuck up on a linebacker, well, hey, bingo, you win, right? I think you got to put him out there a lot and just wear the rest of the rubber that's off the tires and wear it out. And, you know, win two games and see where it gets you. And if it doesn't, you don't win. Or if you win those two games, thanks. Maybe we'll see you in the spring. Don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, that'll be an interesting conversation for right after the season we can have about him, about whether they should bring him back. And if so, at what price? 29-year-old guy. Lots to talk about there. Well, anyway, Eric, we've hit the half-hour mark, so we don't want to make the people listen any longer. So I think we'll probably wrap it up right here. But I just want to say thanks to everybody for downloading this and listening to it. We really appreciate it and glad you think that we're worth your time. We'll be back again next week after Sunday Night Football and the Minnesota Vikings and Packers play. And by then, we'll know whether the Packers' playoff hopes are still alive if they win. And if they lose, they're pretty much dead. And the eyes will turn towards 2024. But either way, there'll be a lot to talk about from that game film. So we'll take a deep dive there. Until next week, thanks again for joining us. This has been you're listening to the After Further Review podcast. And for Eric, I'm Pete. Take care, everybody, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.